Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're at the end of the week. These weeks go by so fast, and so many good things to talk about. And friends, there's nothing quite as, at least to me, there's nothing quite as enlivening, am I using the right word, invigorating spiritually for me than reading the Word of God and just trying to hear the voice of Jesus. I often think back to the words of Pope Benedict XVI from 2005 or something, and I think he's right on. He said that his conviction is that a new spiritual springtime, the secret for a new spiritual springtime, he said, was the daily reading of the Word of God by the faithful, by those who are followers of Jesus. And it's not just a discipline, a get this discipline done, but what he's saying is the reason is this word of God is living. It's active. It's God's authoritative word. It's a word that's God-breathed. There's no word like it in any other book anywhere on the planet. And this is God's word to us. And he said, this is basically a love letter speaking the absolute truth to the one he loves. And that's you when you read it. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, who is the real commentator, interpreter of what the words mean. Now, it's easy for human beings to sometimes misunderstand, misread, discern in a way that's not helpful the meaning of a passage. And of course, we've got the grace of God, we've got the magisterium at work, we've got teaching us and helping us understand. We've got the catechism that puts things in right order in case we're confused about it. There's really good Catholic Bible studies out there that help us as well. But the bottom line is, this word is the content of the beginning, the content of the dialogue between you and God, and between God and the whole church. And you're meant, when Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. You were literally made, as is every single person that ever walked the planet, was made to bear fruit, the fruit of the kingdom of God. That is to live a life that is rightly aligned with God and his purposes, and God's help comes through us, and we're able to bring about the goodness, the beauty, the truth, the life, the kindness, the mercy of God into this world. And we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, and all of this that the Lord gives to us. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, and you can break that down, basically living in him and from him each day. That's having simple, honest, heartfelt conversations with him, simple words, simple phrases, listening to him, listening to his voice, finding some room and space for silence and an interior quiet, taking up the promises of God and taking them into your heart and believing their promises for you. That is your Father. That is your Lord, the Son of God, who's speaking the promises of God to you, which are saving promises. And they're meant to lead us through the grace of the Spirit to follow his promptings, to follow the leadership of Jesus, and to fulfill the destiny that you've been given. And when your life comes to its end and you stand before the Lord, he'll say, what did you bring me? Who did you love? And the fruits of your life will be demonstrated. The Lord loves to show forth. He loves it when those united to him just flourish. And he wants to see our lives be very fruitful. And remember now, fruitfulness in the kingdom is different than how the world might define fruitfulness or success. You can die with all the toys in this world and all the honors, and they die with you. Question is, what did you do that came from love, the love of God? As God defines love, that's another confusing thing today. People are redefining what love means. Love basically is what I say it is for me. Feelings toward something or feelings toward someone. Feelings are related, but love is fundamentally a decision that comes from the grace to see the truth, to affirm what is genuinely true, what is genuinely good, what's genuinely beautiful. So we see today in the reading from Romans chapter 15, St. Paul is talking about the mission that Jesus gave him, the assignment he had to take the good news about Jesus, the good news of God, he calls it the gospel of God, to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, to a pagan world. Paul did preach in synagogues. He preached to Jews, but his primary mission, as he seems to have described it, is to extend it beyond the Jewish people, because remember, the Jewish people, it's from them. They're a light to the nations. Why are the Jewish people, why was their vocation to be a light to the nations? Because they were the first, through Abraham and the fathers and the prophets, to really encounter God in this journey towards salvation. And it's from them that the Savior, the Messiah, would come. And he's the Messiah of the Jews, but he's the Messiah, the Savior for the whole world. And so Paul's key mission to extend the promises of Israel to the Gentile world through the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, so he reads, "But I have written to you rather boldly in some respects to remind you because of the grace given me by God." That is the gift, the power God gave him to do what? To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Remember just the name Jesus that Paul loved to proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord. These are things we touched on this whole week. And Jesus means what? Savior. God with us. Christ is what? Anointed. He's the one filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who's the new life for the new creation. And he's Lord. All authority and power belong to him. Final judgment is in the hands of the Lord. So he said, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in performing the priestly service of the gospel of God. That is the offering of his life, the offering to what? The service to what? The good news of God, to help people, the Gentiles, come to see the one true God. So that, continue here, he says, so that the offering up of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Catholic Church, we have Mass every day, but a Sunday in particular is the high point of the week when the people of God come together. And this offering of the Eucharist is an act of thanksgiving of the people of God. We give thanks to the Father through and in the Son. And what happens is the offering, the joyful offering, the priestly service of Jesus, of offering his whole life to the Father, is represented there on the altar. And Jesus draws us, his body, his people, into that offering. And he reminds us who we are and our entire life. My entire life is meant to be an offering and gift to the Father. And we do it together. Sinful people whose sins are forgiven, we come together and he feeds us and strengthens us as we offer ourselves in thanksgiving to the Father. And he wants to bring this to the Gentile world who has no way of being able to make this offering that's pleasing to God. You have to be united to Jesus to make that offering pleasing to God. So that the offering up of the Gentiles, Paul says, may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Why can I unite ourselves into this offering and the offering of our lives? Because what Christ has done in us, we can enter the holy place. We can draw near to God because Jesus has dealt with the sin problem in us and he has sanctified us. He has set us aside. He's making us holy. How? By the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit cries out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. It's the Spirit crying out in us, make your life an offering. Say yes to the Father. Trust him. Abandon yourself to him. Hope in him. Love him. And say yes to the plan that's in his Son, the good news that's come to us. And let your life be caught up in this song of yes to God, this amen to God. Paul goes on and said, in Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to boast in what pertains to God, because he's done a good job, you know. He says, for I will not dare to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. This is such a good thing. Christ wants to accomplish so much through each and every one of us. I don't have Paul's assignment. You don't have Paul's assignment, but you do have an assignment from God that begins with loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then according to his call, according to your gifting, according to how God has made you, where he's placed you, you have an assignment to walk out the first commandment and the second command, the love of neighbor, which looks like what? The Sermon on the Mount. To walk it out, to live it out with a body of people who understand that they're on mission following the king as he's building the kingdom of God. So Paul says, I could boast in this, but I'm not going to boast. He said, even though I have reason to boast, because it's what Christ has done in me, glory belongs to him. He goes on, for I do not dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to lead the Gentiles to obedience. So here's how Paul, this is an important reading right here. Paul tells us how he led the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, into faith and to belief in obedience to God. And it's pretty simple. You know, there's lots of talk in the church today about evangelization, new evangelization, strategies, how to do it, what to do. This is one of the simplest descriptions. It's as if, imagine St. Paul, you're asking the question, gee, well, how can I engage evangelization? Or how can the church now in this contemporary moment? And if Paul was sitting in front of you, and he is, he's having a conversation with you right here in this letter, by the grace of God, inspired by the Spirit. He said, what did Christ accomplish through me to lead the Gentiles to obedience? So, see first, the Lord in sending you, giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wants to work something through you. And that's something we have to believe in, lean into, anticipate, accept, and come to understand more fully. And so Paul's mission to the Gentiles was what? To lead them to obedience to God. That's how we, that's the expression of what it means to live in relationship with God and what loving God looks like. Paul's saying, here's how I help the Gentiles come into right relationship with God, to align their lives and to begin to live the first commandment first, to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength in obedience. And he said, so here's how he did it. He said, I did this by words and deeds, by the power of signs and wonders, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Words and deeds, signs and wonders, power of the Holy Spirit. It goes forward under the power of God. It's not by my power, just my natural resources. God will use them through the Holy Spirit, will heighten them in their capacity for us to move. But here's something that I don't honestly hear the church talk about very much. We've got books and books and reams of books and seminars and discussions and new ministries talking about evangelization and mission, bringing people to come to hear the good news and bring them into obedience to God. Well, I think all of us should meditate on this. How will the Lord use us? Well, through words and deeds. He'll give us the words. He'll help us do the deeds that confirm the words and the words that give meaning to the deeds. Why do they live this way? Why do they talk that way? Why are they serving in the way they do? And God wants to confirm these words and these deeds through signs and wonders worked by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to be moving in the power of the Spirit. The Christian life is a new life in the Holy Spirit. The fundamental first missionary of the church is the Holy Spirit. From bishop to the youngest child, everybody in between, all are moved into the mission and will only bear fruit if what we do is to yield to the presence and the power of the Spirit who leads us. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.